Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, clinical child psychologist Dr. David Coleman joins me to answer some of your parenting questions. Hello, David.
Good morning, Claire. How are you doing?
Good. And great to have you with us, as always. We're getting some great questions in this morning on 51551 or our WhatsApp, which is 0870 32 32 32. Now, we've two messages here about physical tics. So we'll go through them together and you might just explain or give us your take on what you think might be going on. So the first one, my 10-year-old son likes to go to his room a few times a day to do what he calls skip, where he skips around the room. Also during sport, when he's in a space on his own, he often swings his arms unusually and does some unusual head and neck movements. And they want to know, is there anything to worry about there? But I just want to take this one as well, which is about a 5-year-old in junior infants who's become very fidgety when he's doing his homework in the evenings in particular. He has a long day in creche, school and after school. They're doing the homework at 6 o'clock when everyone is tired and hungry. He gets a lot of homework. It can take 25 minutes plus to complete it. He gets very distracted quickly. He's also started grinding his teeth at night, so much so that his teeth have worn down and have ridges on them. He's otherwise a happy little fellow. He's no issues going into school or creche. He gets 10 minutes of screen time each morning and on Friday evening as his Friday treat. Now, I don't know, David, if you can connect those in any way or answer them in tandem. What do you think?
I think they're slightly different. I might deal with them separately, Claire. The first one, with the young lad who's skipping and so kind of taking himself off to his room to skip. And then I think, did you say he swings his arms as well? So it doesn't sound like there's a huge amount to worry about there. I think, you know, childhood tics, so these kind of involuntary movements that children sometimes make, you know, are quite common, and usually they're not even necessarily associated with any particular anxieties or anything like that. I think the key thing would be if they start to interfere with daily life. So if it was something, for example, that he became very self-conscious of himself, or if he started to get negative feedback from other children who were commenting on him swinging his arms or whatever, then that might be a time to maybe do something about it. But in terms of, you know, the something, it might be as little as just drawing his attention to the fact that this is what he does, so that he can just have greater awareness. For most children who have, you know, kind of little facial movements or, you know, kind of, you know, kind of nodding their head or twisting their head or something like that, you know, that tends to be just a phase. It kind of comes and it goes. And for most children, as I say, it's not usually an issue. The other query that you had there about the 5-year-old, that just sounds more like a 5-year-old who is just exhausted. And so the fidgetiness, I think, is probably about the fact that he's probably just done so much between school and then, did you say he's in after school as well and not home maybe until 6 o'clock, and trying to get homework done and things like that. So maybe it's about looking at the after school, and is there any capacity for him to get any of the homework done in the after school? That might help. And otherwise, I think it might be about trying to just rejig your evening routine, just so that you can maybe give him some other kind of downtime, just some time to actually relax, you know. Or maybe it's about, you know, getting out for, now that the evenings are a bit longer, getting out for a quick walk or something with him, just to allow him to, I suppose, land back home, get over the fact that the day has been so busy, and then move into homework at that stage.
Uh-huh. I wonder as well, David, should they talk to the school about a junior infant's child doing 25 minutes and over of homework? Yeah. I mean, in my experience, that's really very long, isn't it?
It is long, and so some of the difficulty is, you know, when you get a child who's overtired, you know, it just takes longer, and so their attention, their focus is bound to be poor at that stage, and I think that might be part of what's happening. Again, more, you know, reason to think, you know, is there any way that with the after school that maybe they could get some of the homework done? Is that something that they can do in the after school in the creche? And if not, fair enough, but if it is, great, and then it might be just a cursory glance from a mum or a dad that evening. the grinding the teeth, I'd just go talk to the dentist about that. I'm not sure that that's necessarily anything psychological. That could be just a habit thing, and I'm definitely worth checking with the dentist.
Okay, so that mightn't be connected. Now, we have a teenager, and the question is, how do I stop my 13-year-old son eating with his hands? He's in a mainstream class, has a diagnosis of autism and ADHD. He's well able to use a fork, but constantly eats with his hands. Even when eating an ice cream cone, he'll put his fingers in the ice cream and eat it off his fingers. We've tried everything, including giving him a fidget toy in his left hand. We've given out to him, we've embarrassed him, we've praised him when he eats properly. Our fear is he'll be bullied when he starts secondary school in September, where he will be eating in a canteen. What can we do?
Goodness, yeah. I would say if you feel you've tried everything, and it's hard for me, obviously, without kind of meeting him and having an understanding of the extent of his autism and ADHD, but, you know, so I'm not sure the level of kind of neurodivergency, but that would probably be, you know, important in terms of trying to tailor some kind of a program for getting him kind of back in the habit or into a habit of using cutlery when it comes to eating, because it does sound like it's something about some kind of training system, which, you know, will have some kind of positive reinforcement in it. That would be my first thought. But as I say, without kind of knowing the specifics of the family and the young lad in particular, I'm not sure that I could give really useful advice. So I think that's definitely one for them to go try and meet with a psychologist and get some, maybe some kind of a plan going over the summer now, so that, as they say, he's not disadvantaged in secondary school, that he's not going to be, you know, kind of picked out for how he's eating, because they're absolutely right. Other kids could, you know, really go to town with that if his eating looks odd, you know. So
you're definitely not saying to ignore this one and let it sit. You're saying they need some help with this.
Well, you know, because so you know, lots of children eat with their fingers, and there isn't actually an issue with eating with your fingers. And you know, for most kinds of foods that are very edible, using your fingers, you know, most people would pick up chips with their fingers and eat chips, you know, as well as sometimes using a fork. But I think, you know, if you're eating ice cream with your fingers, then, you know, that is the kind of thing that's going to draw attention. And so if that comes with other kinds of foods that are, you know, so if there was a stew, for example, in the school, if that was part of the canteen meal and he was trying to eat stew with his fingers, again, that is going to draw attention and it might be unwanted attention. And so I think they are probably right to see, can they build just the habit of using cutlery, and you know, not because necessarily that's the only way that it, you know, their son should or could eat, but simply so that he just avoids that kind of unwanted negative attention.
Okay, well, hopefully because of the diagnosis they might have access to a psychologist. Let's hope that that's the case.
Yeah, absolutely. And if not, go to your GP and see who's local to you and hopefully get somebody.
Okay, now we're on to a much younger child. This is a 21-month-old and the parent says that the child is hurting them sometimes. So if he's in close proximity to me or has hands near his face, he will hold on to me, dig his nails into me and shake a bit. I have to pull him off. He does the same with the dog. I've even found him with his teeth in the dog's neck one day and the dog has scratched him, understandably, I suppose. I ask him, does he understand to be gentle? He says yes, but I'm worried it's going to get worse and the dog might bite him. Otherwise, he's a fun-loving and kind little boy. Please help.
Yeah, so that sounds like it might be something to do with just not quite managing when, you know, frustrations build or when excitement builds, because both frustration and excitement are going to lead to the release of adrenaline. When adrenaline gets released in very small children, they have no way to regulate it, you know, so they're just going to be quite instinctive in their responses. And so that's why you'll often get small children, you know, lashing out in response to being frustrated about something or squeezing too hard, because again, they just have all this kind of extra energy, if you like, their muscles are kind of pumped up in a small way. So I think it's about just trying to work out, you know, are there any patterns to when that kind of, you know, grabbing and pinching and holding happen? You know, is it when you're trying to kind of help him soothe himself in some way or calm himself down if he's been kind of excited about something? And if so, then it may be just that you have to be a little bit more careful that you don't put yourself in the way of getting hurt. And so, you know, maybe don't be picking him up as your way of trying to soothe him and use other ways of kind of co-regulating communicating with them in terms of the tone of your voice and your other movements, you know, the look on your face, that it's calm and gentle, all that kind of stuff. That might be the way to help him settle if he's kind of, you know, just a little bit tensed up or agitated or whatever, rather mm-hmm. than maybe trying to pick him up, if that's the kind of pattern that you're seeing. And as I say, that's the key bit in the first instance, just to see what kind of pattern is there. Are there particular times when it happens more? Are there particular situations when it happens more? And that might then give you the direction in terms of where to go to try to just change the behavior. And again, typically it's going to be reinforcement of kind of positive good behavior. And so when he is using his hands in a gentle way, when he's being gentle and fun loving in the rest of his life, and also gentle and fun loving in his touch, you're going to give lots of positive reinforcement in terms of praise, acknowledgement, and letting him know, you know, maybe giving him, you know, again, your opportunity to give him back the loving hugs and so on.
Okay, so changing how you respond to him, to the 21-month-old. David, I want to move on to this one in the time we have left. It's complex enough, but hopefully we'll be able to address it. We've a lad who just turned 14. We noticed some risky behaviour last year, missing school, trouble outside of school, much more than his older siblings. He was diagnosed with ADHD last year and is on Ritalin during school. He's really good at a particular sport, but over the last month or two, he struggles to get ready for the weekend match. He won't get out of bed, takes ages to get dressed. At the weekend, this escalated to a full-on teen meltdown, roaring, kicking and screaming, etc. I'm not parent of the year, but more or less dragged him out to the match. Not the best start, but he got there, he played, he enjoyed it, and it was fine. We chatted on the way home and he said it wasn't even that bad. He said he doesn't know why he gets like that. We don't have the skills to start to tackle this. Have you any advice?
Yeah, so I think the ADHD may be significant for that young lad. But I think also, you know, ultimately what he's going to have to, you know, and the family are going to have to come to realize is that, you know, for him to pursue the sport, if he's very good at a sport, and so again, you know, I think when children show a lot of talent in a sport, you know, parents are really reluctant to let them give it up because there's so many good positive benefits that accrue from playing sports. And so, but ultimately kids have to make a decision to play because they enjoy playing, because, you know, they see the value themselves. So it's an internal motivation as opposed to just an external motivation. And so that's where you're starting to talk to him about the sport in particular, but also just generally about his behavior. We get an awful lot further with teenagers in terms of them choosing to make wise choices when we actually talk with them about the, you know, the ups and the downs, the likely outcomes, the positives, the benefits, and that we appear reasonable about it, as opposed to just throwing our weight around saying, you know, we're forbidding this, we're forbidding that. And then you get a lot of young people instead who kind of, you know, just pull back and their behavior becomes more secretive, and they do end up getting themselves into a lot of bother and are very successful at hiding it from their parents. So the main thing is about keeping the lines of communication open. And so, you know, you don't want too many repeated episodes like there were at the weekend, because that's the kind of thing that's more likely to lead him into just then becoming resistant, simply because his parents, he feels, are just putting too much pressure on him.
All right. Unfortunately, out of time, David. We'll speak again soon.